back live on the internet through BBS Radio. What a blessing. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us and our friends. Thank everyone for being here today. It is Wednesday, and if you think of the month, May the 27th, 2020. A Wednesday evening, meaning questions and answers with the Elohim and with Ra, the two group souls that locate themselves on the other side of the veil and speak to us through Terry Brown, our wonderful angel located in Sedona, Arizona. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. That's how it all started. We have a few people here. Thank you for being here, Antonio. And I believe that there's a lady from Costa Mesa over here as well.
Hello, hi.
Hello, Debbie Dolphin.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Thank you. Hi, sweetheart. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, it's a beautiful day here. My goodness.
All right. Yeah. People at the beach?
You know, I was at the park. A lot of people at the park, and everybody seems to have a dog or a puppy. Yeah, it's wonderful.
All right. All right. All right. For those folks, good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Yeah, hi. It's Lauren from Forks, Washington.
Welcome, Lauren. Good to have you.
Hi, Lauren.
Dr. Art, Hampton, Virginia.
Dr. Art, coming in through the back door. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Art.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Goody, goody. So for those that want to ask a question, you can do so per email to questions@intelligent-infinity.com. questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And Wynn goes to those submitted questions during the show, and every time he tries to ask all the questions to our sources, and if he doesn't get to your question, simply resubmit it next week. Good evening. Welcome to the next live caller. Thank you for being here. Please say a name and location.
Hello, hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Welcome to you, Jane.
Thank you.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Antonio.
All right.
Well, to the Wednesday night call, would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Antonio and everyone. Shirley from Ohio.
Hi, Shirley.
Welcome, Shirley.
Hi.
The next caller, welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Kat, and I'm in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome, Kat. Good to have you.
Hi.
Two more people. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Welcome to you, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. Thank you. Hi, Antonio.
All right.
Better heard two D's. Anybody else?
You know, some people want to stay in the background, which is totally fine.
Yes. But only if you want to leave.
Exactamente, senor.
And if you ask a question and it's your first time, then it goes to the top of the list.
Right on.
Hello.
Hey, John.
Yeah, it's John from Vegas.
How did that? Ran out of the road kind of car? I'm going to put it in the back. Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to share your name and location?
Yeah, Phyllis from Squim, Washington.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hello.
Hi, Phyllis.
Anybody else? Go to me if you want to. I'm not sure if Heiss is talking. If he was, then he was really, really low.
Who are you talking about?
Heiss.
Oh.
Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Good evening, Antonio. It's Wanda from the Cat.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
Hello, everyone.
I watched part of the Matrix movie.
The first part?
Yeah. I've never seen the Matrix movies before.
Oh, my heaven. What'd you think?
Parts that I've seen, they were good, but I had to turn it off because my cartoons were on, and I don't want to miss my cartoons.
I just got a call that my mother-in-law just passed away.
Oh, hi.
Oh, I'm sorry, hi.
My condolences, Heiss.
Sorry to hear that.
He ran off the road. He probably had a heart attack.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened, Heiss?
My mother-in-law passed away. Just got a call.
Oh no, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. More people have tuned in. Welcome to you all. Please say your name and location.
Only if you want.
But only if you want to. Welcome to the next call. It's your name and location.
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Welcome, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Wynn.
And Terry in Sedona.
Welcome, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, so are you talking about your mother just now?
My mother-in-law.
Your mother-in-law.
My stepmother-in-law. Yeah. One of my stepsisters, she called her on the cell phone, and it was the cops answering the cell phone, and telling her that they just found her, ran off the road with her car, and probably due to a heart attack.
She was gone?
But she's all the way gone. Yes, she's dead.
I don't want to use the dead word.
Well, the body is dead. The body.
Her body is dead.
Yes. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heiss, Don in Northern Ohio. I win.
Welcome.
Everybody.
Welcome, Don.
Hi, John.
Antonio.
Hi, Don.
Hey, Don.
Hello, Lauren. Hi, Wanda. Pretty good, huh?
It's all brothers and sisters, you know. You get to know each other.
Hey, Lauren, do you know who Jim McCann is?
I'm what? Me too. Okay, give me the computer.
Who's that?
Jim McCann.
Vaguely familiar.
Spent coast to coast last night. You're a scientist.
What's he doing? What about him?
I just wonder if you knew him, knew anything about him.
When he toilet paper?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So Ben and Terry, I'm gonna, if you don't mind, I wanna, I'll send in a question to send some love to Phyllis.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Phyllis. Phyllis Swift.
Phyllis.
Phyllis.
Yeah.
Hi, Phyllis.
How old was she?
Probably, my guess is around 70, I think.
Where was she?
In Utah, near, they live near St. George. She was a high-end nurse teaching other people. She had a high degree in nursing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She had a big heart.
Yeah. Did it happen today?
It just happened. We just got a call minutes ago.
Yeah.
How old was she?
I think she was around 70, I think. I guess.
70?
Yeah.
I used to think that was old.
Well,
it used to be old.
I still got a couple more years to go.
Got a few good years left.
Okay, I'm picking her up.
You do?
Yeah.
Send her my love, Terry.
Like, she's busy right now. She's still trying to make the turn.
Right, right. Does she know she passed, or?
No. No, she's stuck in trying to control the car.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
She just needs to, she needs some time.
Uh-huh. Well, you can surround with love and support.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Is John Siboronski on the call?
Yes, I'm here, Wynn.
John, do you have Rh negative?
No, but I know someone who does. Very important question. Extremely important.
Well,
you know, years ago, it happened the same thing as I was greeting the people on the call. I can't remember if it was a Wednesday call as well or a Monday call, that I got a call that my mother passed away in Holland. And then also,
I remember.
I was so relieved when you were able to find her and were able to tell me that she was surrounded by so much love life.
Yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say name and location.
Good evening. Hi, it's Raiden and Sedona. Positive
welcome,
greetings.
Raiden. Welcome, brother.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi, Raiden.
I think we had someone else. Please say name and location. It's only if you would like to do so. Welcome.
You got my question.
Do I have your question?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have my question? This is Phyllis.
I got yours too. It was interesting that last week a bunch of questions came in late, and that doesn't usually happen.
Did you get Bob's question in there?
Bob?
Yeah, Harlech.
Bob, are you on the line?
May not be as yet.
No, I don't have his question. But I don't know, did he send it in? If he sent it in the wrong format, if he doesn't send it to questions, okay? And if he sends it into the wrong email, I don't get it. Yeah, you know.
What was this about Rh negative?
John had a question about Rh negative blood.
Yeah, and it's like a series of questions, like 10 of them.
Oh, really?
Okay. Hello to everybody on BBS. And we're just about to start.
All right.
Hi, sir. You on the console?
Yes, I am. Okay, yes, Terry.
What was her name?
Phyllis Swift.
Phyllis?
Swift.
Okay. Swift?
She lives near St. George, Utah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like she experienced dizziness as she went out, and she went unconscious, and she's thinking, she still has to come back and control the car and get where she's going, and anyway, she's being surrounded by love now, and she's noticing that. So
okay, great.
That's what's going on.
Thank you so much, Terry, for paying attention to her.
Yeah.
All right.
Muted.
So, but it wasn't necessarily a heart attack.
I don't know what it was. She experienced dizziness and went unconscious.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
It could have been a heart attack.
Right.
Here we go.
The recording has started.
This is May 27th, 2020. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And this is our call where we do questions with the Elohim, where people turn in questions. And we take all questions. Usually, occasionally, I'll reject one. The one thing we don't do is, most of us know there's a lot of negative energies on our planet right now. And we can't go too deep into exposing the negative without risking being negatively attacked. It's interesting because about 6 months ago, David Wilcock sent an email or a letter, probably an email, to his former employers at Gaia TV, and he really attacked them. You know, he said, you guys are Luciferian, you're screwing me, and I don't want anything to do with it. Now later, he sent an apology email out, or somebody posted an apology from him. But the thing about it is, there may have been truth in his first email, but he posted a thing that people are attacking him now, his former allies. I mean, you don't polarize with the negative.
Well, see, I think that probably they don't realize what was going on, and they think that he's just being erratic or wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, who doesn't realize what's going on?
All the people, some of the people are attacking him probably out of self-defense, but somebody's attacking him just because they love Gaia and the work that they do and everything, and he's attacking Gaia, then they would feel annoyed.
No, I think the reference to what he wrote was that he didn't say people with Gaia were attacking him, but he said his former allies.
Yeah, which okay. could include those.
Which would, yeah. Mm. And there are horrible things going on in the world right now. And some of it is so horrible that if most people heard it, they wouldn't believe it. They say, that can't be true. You know?
That's right.
And but nonetheless, if you go out to expose the negative, you're what is called polarizing with them.
And you're going to get their attack back.
And if you polarize with them, you give them the energy to get back at you. And, I mean, there are people that are doing various videos that there's a positive to exposing them. There is, because people don't know about this stuff.
That's but right.
The point is, when you expose them, without giving somebody something positive to grab onto, you're not doing anybody a service. You're only creating fear, okay? And you're also endangering yourself. So just take that to heart if you want to, okay? Now we're going to get right into our questions tonight. I'm going to call in the light. I just do a disclaimer here. When Terry channels, when anybody channels, you're not meant to take this as the gospel truth, although it may be, but consider it, because there are times when Terry has bleed through, coming through, there are times, I don't think Terry has negative sources, but other people could, and you can hear something that sounds inspiring and positive, and they interject something that is not positive, but it seems like so much part of the flow that you tend to just accept it. And now you're really screwed up because you're being programmed by a negative source, okay? And negative sources want to addict you. They want to have control of your consciousness. And that goes on this side or the other side. So you have to be really scrutinizing. Now, it doesn't mean you have to assume it's negative. But I think, you know, we asked this question a long time ago, and they said, you know, there's a frequency to the Elohim, and that there's a frequency to everything. There's a frequency to everybody. And if we tune in to the frequency of things, we get a much better idea of the true nature of it than the words, okay? So when we're doing these calls, there's a frequency on all of our calls that many of you are becoming sensitive to, if not most of you, maybe all of you. And that frequency is a reference point for connecting with the higher realms. And it's different than an emotional connection. Like if you ever watch an evangelist talking, oftentimes there is not a frequency of the higher realms in their speech. But there's an emotional pull, there's fear, believe in Jesus or you'll go to hell, all those kinds of things. So just keep your scrutiny cap on about everything. So I'm going to start off, call in the light, and then we have some questions that you guys have submitted. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect everyone here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything, none of that nature, must leave now. And our first question is from Phyllis in Squim, Washington. And she asks, how may I help my cranial sacral clients with tinnitus and hypersensitive hearing? Thank you for all the assistance you give us.
Thank you. There is a technology beginning to be brought forth in that area where the tinnitus does not appear in the ear. The tinnitus occurs in the brain. And the faulty communication between the cochlear, or the hairs of the inner ear, and the connection with the brain. The cochlear become more placid, don't move right with the sound, don't interpret the sound right, and so by the time that it gets to the brain for the interpretation, it comes across it is not a representation of the sound. You have asked concerning how you can help. It is a matter of within the patients reestablishing the flexibility of the hairs in the ears, which the blood flow to the body is very important. And so areas where you work with the body that you can clear up pathways of blood flow to gently work with them to help to open, increase circulation, and massage can help to do this. So this is one way with massage, and even in the cranial area, can help to open up channels of blood flow which will help the increase of blood flow within the brain and the ear area. Thank you.
When she's doing massage, can you be specific about the points that she should be sure she hits?
Areas that can increase blood flow. So massage around the cranial area, moving down to the passageways of blood through the neck into the head. Areas to study a chart where the pathways for blood flow are in the head and in the neck and in the upper chest, and even it can go into whole body. Massage to help open up there are points in the hand and points in the feet and points in the ears, which can help to relax areas and open them up to more blood flow.
Thank you. Antonio asked a very interesting question. As a result of coming to our calls, I think it's mostly that at this moment, he had been noticing his crown chakra opening up. And for the past 2 weeks, he's been distracting himself by playing video games on his computer for like 14 hours a week. And he noticed the closing down of his crown chakra. And he wanted to know if he has identified the correct cause.
Well, in a way, but in another way, no, because it translates back to usage and actual open of your crown chakra by mental and the spiritual connections you're making. And as you focus on the games, your focus becomes concentrated and contracted into certain points and points of attention and intention. And if you are to open to a broader world, then this can again work and to open your crown chakra and your chakras. It is similar to muscles that you use. Like you are concentrating down into a small area. So if you stop your game and you reach out and expand your consciousness, expand your attention and to see a worldview, like the view of the room, and a picture of the room, and you're viewing the whole room, and then picture the house, and you're viewing the whole house, and then picture the city, and you're picturing the city, you're being as big as the city, and then you can go and picture the state, and then you can picture the U.S., and you can get bigger until you encompass, say, a whole continent. And just doing this exercise will begin to gave you some flexibility with your remote viewing capabilities and opening up your chakras. And then you can go back to playing the game rather than just 14 hours a day condensing your space into this game.
Mm-hmm. When somebody starts having, shall we call it spiritual growth, or opening of their chakras, it seems to me to maintain it, there's kind of a responsibility to use it, not just say, look
at what it is. You could put it that way, but it's like entering another step. It's like if you use it, you strengthen it.
Yes.
And if you dumb down and get small and focus on a board or a screen for a long period of time, your muscles conform to that, and then this is what you are training them with.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing of it is to go back and forth, to give them some expansion in between times so that you can maintain your ability to get large or small.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next question is from, let me see here, John Sabaransky. Recently, I have noticed that I have had an inability to focus. Where did it come from? Is it a repeating pattern? Do I have some kind of implant? If so, what can I do to clear it?
Give us a moment. We had talked previously concerning your hydration of your body. We ask at this time, are you getting enough liquids to keep your body hydrated and mobile? This is the first thing. Give us a moment. So an inability to focus, we take a closer look at that, and that your ability to focus is still there, but what are you focusing on? Is it something that is confusing and unclear? There is something that you are confused about or unclear that some, for lack of a better word, we say hologram, which is in a larger case, is true. That is interfering with your view of what it is that you are attempting to focus on. So at this point, we say for this unclarity, focus on the unclarity and see what the components of it are. Is it a mass in your space? Is it something that is unfocused or confusing that you are attempting to view, and therefore you are picking up confusion and inability to focus? Take a look around sometimes and look at the bedpost. Well, you probably don't have one. You might not have one, but look at something in the room. Look at the window and attempt to focus. clearly on it. And then look back to what it is that you are attempting to focus on that you aren't able to clearly see, and see what one thing about it is that you can grasp. Approach it by observation to see what you can see, that you can recognize and you can focus on. And then see if you can see more. But make sure that your health, you watch your health. And this can create areas of unfocus.
You know, it came to me that the product Calm would be a good product for John to take.
It would, yes.
Just because he tends to be hyper, and it's hard to focus from a position of hyperness. Calm. This is, you know, all of you can listen to this. It's a very, very, it's a drink. It's not expensive. It's a powder that goes in water, and it's got magnesium in it. And there's something about magnesium. You can just look it up on Amazon and read all the testimonials of how it helps to relax people.
And sleep better. It can help if you take it before you go to bed. You can sleep better,
yeah.
And then you can get more healing during your sleep time.
And it costs about $15 for a fairly large can of it. So it's worth trying. I mean, I've been taking it, and I notice the effects. And it's one of those things, you know, there's certain supplements you take because you've read about them and somebody says it's good for you. And oftentimes, you take it on faith, but you don't notice anything. And that doesn't mean it's not doing something. But in this particular case with this product, I notice a difference when I take it. So, next question. This is from Jill in Rochester, Minnesota. I am wondering if we carry the same DNA with us through reincarnations. Just wondering if we always look the same and whether or not the problems I have physically in this lifetime are the same I might have struggled with in previous lifetimes or will go through in future lifetimes. Is there anything you can tell me about my past lives that can help me be more successful in this current lifetime?
Yes, you are entirely right. Go ahead.
Yes. I was just going to say, and I just want to say this, because I'd like them to confirm it or not confirm it. Your DNA is carried, but your DNA does change from lifetime to lifetime. And your DNA is not just your past life DNA. That's a big part of it. But it's also the DNA of your parents, your environment. Your DNA is like constantly changing. If you've anchored a new plateau, like you've managed to keep your heart open, or you manage to keep your third eye open, and you're keeping that open through a good portion of your life, your waking hours, then that will be in your future DNA, and you'll have a much more easier time accessing an open heart. And that's, I just want to get our sources to confirm. Am I correct in what I'm saying?
Yes, your body, from moving from lifetime to lifetime, carries the memory of your DNA, and you are interactive with your DNA so that your DNA can follow your thought patterns and your reactions that you have become comfortable with, or you have chosen as they have worked for you in the past. So that you begin to modify your DNA that you inherit with the body. And oftentimes you are born into the same family and so have very similar DNA. And your DNA follows you and is interactive with you. And so your DNA is constantly changing, and it is following you and your memory. Memory is an important thing. Your memory, your hologramic memory, is able to modify the DNA to be. It is serving you. It is bringing you the. The thing, the interface with your environment, and in its serving of you, it is interactive with you, and it is coming up to speed all the time, and it travels with you. So the ways you interacted before, and we start to address you in your past, are moving with you into your current life, and have moved with you, and as you react in the same way that you reacted in your past life, again you react that same way, because you have learned that this is a beneficial in your survival, or the way that you have interfaced, and you are comfortable with it, and or you believe that this is going to benefit you, or you need to do this. And so you do, and so your DNA modifies it from your parents, modifies to suit that.
You know, I have definitely noticed that even though your parents affect your DNA, and all kinds of things affect your DNA and your appearance, having known a couple of people and that happened to have been famous enough that I could look up their pictures, in almost every case, and in fact maybe every case, the similarity between lifetimes was still there, even though they had different parents. They were different. It wasn't exactly the same, but it was close enough that I could track it, okay, and see it.
So when a person is born, they may not look exactly like they did in a past life, but as they modify the DNA in the body, they may become more and more to look like they did.
Yes. As they get older, you know, as they get older and they get more involved in various karmic kind of relationships with people, your appearance can change. And oftentimes you will be modeling a past life, and then you might go to model another past life, in which case, when you're modeling each past life, your appearance will change somewhat depending on what you're modeling. I mean, there will be a thread of continuity, but there will also be a difference. Bob in New York, Lauren's friend,
Lauren said you asked a question. Now, I can't find your question. If you're listening, anybody's listening, if you want to ask a question, you have to send it to this email. Questions.
Go ahead.
Questions at intelligent-infinity.com. Okay? Because
if Bob's on, do you think he could unmute and ask you a question?
I asked if he was on earlier. Here. Let me just see here.
Unmuted.
Bob, are you on the line? Okay.
Muted.
You might have been planning on listening to a replay, or you might have been planning, maybe listening on BBS. But if you submit it next week to questions at intelligent-infinity.com, I will get it, okay?
We look forward to your question.
Okay. Next question here. This is a question from someone who would like to be anonymous, who I mentioned earlier, that lives in Arizona. And the question is, in 2019, I began working with a local author to write a book about my husband's death. His body was found in the desert, and suspicious circumstances surrounding his death indicated the involvement of corrupt law enforcement and local officials. Since then, certain things have happened that lead me to believe that the corrupt individuals involved, who are also known to be involved in occult practices, may be using black magic to prevent the book from being written, therefore preventing exposure of themselves as well as their criminal activity. Are my instincts correct, and certain events are no coincidence, but in fact are caused by black magic type energy sent out to myself and the author? If you have any advice or assistance, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Be very careful, as you are dealing with some very unscrupulous people. And we do see that your fears or your suspicions are validated, and that it's not just your husband, but they're worried about finding out about but it is their whole practices and other things that they are doing and are into. They are trying to protect their way of doing these things. And you may not have any idea how, in the words of Trump, how deep that swamp goes.
How deep that swamp goes.
Yes.
I mean, is this something that could endanger herself or the other person if they keep pursuing it?
This is a subject that we are uncomfortable with. The answer is it already has.
Okay, thank you.
May I just ask to please put a blanket of love light around this person asking the question for protection?
Yes, done.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Next question, Rich Buckley. Scientists recently discovered and confirmed a 200,000-year-old tile floor laid in Black Mesa, Oklahoma, now built over with a shopping mall, of all things. Were all the people that built the tile floor part of the race called the Kalu? Now, you know, Rich, when you come up with a word like Kalu, I don't know if we'll tune into that word, but we'll see what happens. Briefly, what was their history here on planet Earth, and are their descendants still with us?
Yes, some of the descendants are still here. It was an outpost with 5,000 years ago from another planet come to Earth to establish a unique group of people of different lineages. That was a very localized name of a larger group. It's much like you have cities, but you have also names of tribes or names of races, but it was part of a broader group of individuals from nearby star systems that were outposted here. When does this, is there more to this question?
No.
Or does that answer?
That's it.
Okay.
Okay. We have a question. You know, I'm afraid this is going to be too long an answer. There's somebody who remained anonymous, who indicates they're a grateful listener, that asked about the mandala effect. And I don't know if we can answer that in one minute, okay? So if you don't mind, could you ask that question next week? And John Siboransky asked a question about Rh negative blood. He asked it last week, but I chose to ask his other question this week because
I thought question?
This is kind of a long answer, I think. We're supposed to be off the air already. Hi, BBS. Rh negative blood that first appeared in humans 35,000 years ago in Cro-Magnon man, 50% of the world's population have it. Where did it come from? Why does the body of an Rh negative mother carry an Rh negative child try to reject her own offspring? Did it come from Maldek? Did all Maldekians have Rh negative? Are all people
no,
with Rh negative?
The answer to that is no. But
okay.
In the larger question, we would prefer you ask it next week.
Yeah, I thought it would be too involved. That's an interesting question. And John, thank you for asking it. And Edna asked the question after we started. So, Edna, I'm going to put that off if you want to ask it again next week, okay? And on that note, we're going to go to the whole planet healing, and I hope you all will follow us, okay? And the phone number is 712-770-4340. 712-770-4340. And the PIN is 250-513. 250-513 pound. And thank you all for being here. Thank you, all of you who submitted questions. And we'll see you.
Unmuted.
Thank you from Seattle.
Nobody else is saying goodbye, so be that way.
Thanks, okay? Thanks from Square.
Thank you for the win, Terry. Thank you very much. Maybe next week I'll start earlier.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn, Terry.
All right. We'll see you all in a moment.